Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Eric Goodman on assignment. Andrew Mason here, joined by Inigo Pirro filling in for Eric Goodman here. You can watch this, of course, on MileHighSports.com. Thanks for joining us here. Wherever you're following us, MileHighSports.com. If you're listening on Alexa, like my mom is, and she says, play Mile High Sports Radio. That's how you do it on Alexa. You can, of course, listen on 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM, in Denver. Want to tell you about Hot Tub Outlet. And you know what? You may have found out in a lot of your shopping, whatever you're looking for, that the supply chains are broken or backed up. Hey, maybe you've gone down to the gas station recently and they've told you no gas because there's a shortage of truck drivers to deliver the gas to gas stations. That's the sort of thing that we're seeing in all industries that you're dealing with right now, issues in terms of supplying. Well, Hot Tub Outlet has found a way around that. So right now, Hot Tub Outlet has a huge inventory of hot tubs in two warehouses ready to sell right now. They got 15 different models and truckloads of hot tubs delivered every month. While other hot tub stores have little to no inventory and might make you wait 8 to 12 weeks for that hot tub, you can get your hot tub right now. And don't forget, when you buy from Hot Tub Outlet, you'll get hot tubs only made in the U.S. that have great quality and the best insulation. Go to Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or HotTubOutletDenver.com right now if you want to follow along, you want to listen, or you want to chime in on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed. Go to RMFP.com. Find us on Twitter. I'm at Mace Denver, and Ian Lewis at Media by AP. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Anilo, we are so used to the Broncos recently being among the worst in so many things in the NFL that when you find out they're actually perhaps the best in something, it's notable. And that's one thing we learned today. Mike Kliss of KUSA Channel 9 reports that the Broncos have had 95% of their players receive at least one COVID-19 vaccination shot. Compare that to the league-wide average, according to Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, which is 68%, which actually exceeds the national average of 67.1 and far exceeds the national average for men 18 to 39, which is just 53%. 95% and all of their tier one and tier two staff have been vaccinated as well. What does this say about the Broncos getting everyone on the same page?
Well, I think it's encouraging, you know, and I think, you know, will this have a direct effect on the X's and O's and you know, how this team plays on the field? I don't know, probably not, you know, but I think it's good, you know, that this team is able to get on the same page. And obviously, we know the concept of vaccines is one that is, you know, rather difficult for some people to kind of wrap their heads around. I'm not afraid to say I'm on that, what is it, 53%, what you said, I'm fully vaccinated. You know, I never questioned that myself. You know, but for whatever reason, it seems like there's been a lot of pushback from the professional athletes, from some of these, you know, higher profile people. And I think for the Broncos to have, you know, a pretty high rate of vaccinations, you know, just in general and for the NFL, you know, I think that says a lot about just the character that they're trying to develop within that organization. I think clearly the Broncos were able to put an emphasis on this vaccine, kind of display the importance of it. And Colorado as a state as well has been pretty good with the vaccine as well. So I think it kind of falls in line with that. But I think it's nice to see a degree of maturity from the Denver Broncos and a willingness to, you know, embrace this, you know, vaccine to kind of, you know, get rid of COVID.
Well, let's face it. We tend to talk about the exceptions and their negative when they're negative more than the positive ones. Like, for example, league-wide this past month, we've talked about Josh Allen in Buffalo showing his skepticism for the vaccine. We've talked about Cole Beasley very vocally refusing to get a vaccine and being quite strident on social media about it. And even in the Broncos realm, I know that a couple months ago when we saw some tweets from Alexander Johnson, they're starting inside linebackers about being hesitant about the vaccine and calling it a quote plandemic or a planned pandemic, one of those two things, terms that he used. We kind of thought, oh boy. But these are clearly the exceptions to the rule, and certainly in the Broncos, the exception to the rule. And if you had 95% of the population vaccinated, the other 5% could do whatever they want, and that would be enough to stop the pandemic in its cold in its tracks. And that's also more than enough for the Broncos to get back to normal in terms of having meetings in person and in the meeting rooms instead of having a bunch of people spread out in the field house. It would allow them to get back to normal in terms of player interactions around the building, eating lunch together, that sort of thing. I don't think it makes a difference in the Broncos, going all of a sudden becoming a Super Bowl team because they're potentially at 95% vaccination and able to get well past the 85% threshold. But I do think this sort of thing is the difference between being 8-9 and 9-8 or 10-7, which could mean the difference between being a playoff team and not being a playoff team because everyone in that jumbled middle is so close.
I think that's the perfect way to look at it, Mace. Like, I really do. And like, it's almost like I feel like I just got smarter by listening to you because I think
No, honestly,
because when you ask me the question, I'm not even thinking about, having guys on the field. Like, I'm just thinking about, like, it's good for the Broncos morale that everyone wants to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So like, you bring just a totally different school of thought to the field that is actually probably going to be more impactful than anything I said, So I think that right there is the right take. And honestly, like it's like the light bulb went off in my head. I think, health is wealth, that's the old saying. If you can have a fully healthy team, there's no saying, what if a big quarterback gets COVID or whatnot? So I forget the other saying, but they say like your best, trait is availability. So I love that.
The best ability is availability.
There it is. Yep.
That's the old cliche. Do you think the Broncos would be in such good shape here if they had not had to deal with that haymaker last year of having their entire quarterback room wiped out by COVID protocol?
And that's another great point as well, because I don't want to try to put a ton of emphasis on that little blurb that, kind of happened in the middle of the season. But, when you look at the factors of having a young offense, you have a first time or not a first time, but Shermer was the first year offensive coordinator at that point. Fangio obviously still kind of getting his feet wet. Any and all momentum that the Broncos may have had at that point, or continuity established between receivers and linemen and running backs, really gets thrown out the door. So, I don't want to sit here and say that the Broncos quarterback situation is the way it is because of Kendall Hinton having to kind of come in because of COVID. Mm-hmm. But I think that definitely can screw with, the mojo and the overall flow of a season. Absolutely. Especially when you're not, mentally solid across the board, right? You're a younger team. You've got steps to take. So when you get kind of thrown that's not a jab. That's like a big right hook.
Yeah. Real quick, do you think some players have quite literally decided to take one for the team, even though they may have their own skepticism?
As in getting the shot?
Yes.
Absolutely. I think that there's a handful of players that have done that. I also think that there's probably a handful of players that like Cole Beasley, that will literally say, come find me, if you want to put this needle in my arm. So let's do what's best for the team, though, Mace. That if I was a player in the Broncos locker room, if I was skeptical, I'm not even afraid to say it. I was slightly skeptical about the vaccine when it first came out. I didn't get it right away, but I did my research. I listened to people in the medical field, and I came to an educated conclusion, and I got the vaccine. And I hope that everyone in the Broncos front office, team, anything like that, will do the same.
I hope so as well. I think it's the first big win for the Broncos this year. Hopefully many more to come in the 2021 season. Coming up on the other side here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, Nilo Piro filling in for Eric Goodman. CBS Sports has an off-the-radar choice for the Broncos MVP. Who do they think the Broncos MVP will be in 2021? Who do we think might be their MVP? And who do the Broncos need to be their MVP. We're going to get into that on the other side. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Ningo Piro filling in for Eric Goodman. I'm Andrew Mason. MileHighSports.com, MileHigh Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM. See me die than see me fly. I call all the shots, rip all the spots, rock all the rocks, top all the drops.
Come, my lady, come, my lady. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, Eric Goodman on assignment, and Ingo Piro filling in for Eric Goodman. I'm Andrew Mason. Nilo is at our studio in DTC. I am checking in from my parents' house in Florida, not too far from Tampa. You want to watch us? Of course, watch us on MileHighSports.com. Anywhere you'll see Nilo, you'll see a slide of me and my smiling face out there if you're watching that way. I want to tell you about our friends over at Rocky Mountain Forest Products, which is the only choice for wholesale lumber to the public. A family-owned business since 1974, Rocky Mountain Forest Products has become the leading supplier in Colorado for some of the most recognizable structures that we know. You can find their lumber in Empower Field, Coors Field, Ball Arena, and, of course, the Stanley Hotel up in Estes Park. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, get your lumber from Rocky Mountain Forest Products when building your next fence, deck, or siding for your home. Of course, they're going to charge you wholesale prices, wholesale lumber. Anything you want at home, Rocky Mountain Forest Products is where you want to go. You can find Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com. And if you want to join us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, you can find me at Twitter at Mace Denver on Twitter. You can find Anilo at Media by AP on Twitter. Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
Anilo, let me ask you real quick. Who do you think is most likely the Broncos MVP this year?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to go with a cliche, but I really do think that Von Miller's due for the bounce back year. I'm buying into the hype train, and I think, you know, you've seen the respect that Von's got on some of these top 10 lists as well. And if he's truly locked in and in this peak physical condition, it's hard to stop him, even if he is, 32 years old. And I think, you know, he's going to be the leader of this defense. So first glance, it's a cliche, but I'm big bounce back year for 58. If not MVP, maybe even a candidate for a comeback player of the year, just in the league in general.
And you know what? I think that's a great case you can make for Von Miller. Aside from the bounce back aspect, I think you can make a case for Bradley Chubb. They're both edge rushers, have a huge impact. I think you can make a case for it being perhaps Cortland Sutton coming back from injury. Maybe Jerry Jeudy takes the next steps forward. Maybe Melvin Gordon does what he did the second half of last year. And then maybe what you're hoping is that whoever ends up being the quarterback is the MVP.
Well, can I rephrase the question here? Because you kind of got me thinking a little bit. And in order for the Broncos to be a playoff team, who needs to be their MVP?
Well, if the quarterback is playing at an average or lower mid-tier level, then they need somebody on the defensive side countering that, or they need a receiver just going off. So at minimum, they need it to be Vaughn, Chubb, or one of the receivers.
Yeah.
But if they want to accomplish anything great this year, it has to be Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater, or if they trade for Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers. It has to be the quarterback if they want to do anything truly great in 2021.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to phrase the question that way, because it's one of those situations where, I mean, they just need the damn quarterback play. Like, I know we kind of sound like a broken record a little bit, but I mean, even if Vaughn has an MVP type year, or Bradley, you know, Chubb has an MVP type year, it almost in a way isn't going to mean anything if one of these quarterbacks isn't playing up to par.
Exactly. And if the quarterback is playing at, say, a Blake Bortles Jaguars 2017 level, or a Buffalo Bills Tyrod Taylor 2017 or Chicago Bears Mitchell Trubisky 2020 level.
Right.
All of those teams were playoff teams, but they didn't do anything. Brock Osweiler was the primary quarterback for the Texans when they won a division title in 2016. Brian Hoyer, Texans 2015, same thing. You can go down the line and see teams that had pedestrian or unimpressive quarterback play that were still able to be in the postseason. But what all those teams have in common is that they fizzled out pretty quickly. So there's a ceiling on that. Can you accomplish anything truly great with a quarterback who isn't truly great? Well, you've got to have an all-time defense like the Broncos had in 2015. And while this defense should be good in 2021, I don't think it's fair to compare them with that 2015 D, especially when that 2015 D had at least three likely Hall of Famers in the starting 11.
Right, and I think that's a very valid point. And I think it was a national radio show that I was listening to, and they were talking about the Broncos and just Vic Fangio. And I agree, because I think, you know, by denomination, I kind of just default to the Broncos defense being good. But I don't think that this defense is great enough to be this catalyst like it was back in 2015 when they were making the run to the Super Bowl. They have players. I mean, they're going to be a top 10 defense, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But this isn't an all-worldly defense like we saw in 15,
right,
or like we've seen from the Ravens in the past.
Yeah, and solid. I feel like it's solid. It's very good. It should be a top 5 defense. But what you're talking about with that D in 2015 is it was an all-time defense.
Right.
It's not just a great defense that year. It's in the top 10 in the Super Bowl era. And I don't think it's fair to try to expect this defense to be what that was. It should be very good, yes, but that ability to take over games on the defensive side at that level, we've only seen that from the 76 Steelers, the 85 Bears, the 2000 Ravens, the 02 Bucks, the 13 Seahawks, the 15 Broncos.
Right.
It's only a handful of defenses that hit that level.
Exactly. And I think, you know, at the grand scheme of things, the goal is to obviously contend and win a championship. And I think, you know, a lot of Broncos fans and people in and around in Bronco land, they look at that 15 team as kind of the template of defense wins championships. Mm-hmm. But again, if you're going to go that route, you named all of the teams. I mean, we can count them on both hands. You've got to be an all-worldly defense. So I think if any Broncos fan out there or anybody who's banking on the Broncos defense to try to take this team to new heights, I mean, I think you've got to temper your expectations a little bit. And the other thing is Fangio has coached good defenses. He's been a part of these defensive I know he's with Baltimore in the past and whatnot, but he's never been the driving force behind the defense, right? He had Rex Ryan with him in Baltimore. There was a lot of contributing factors that kind of go along with that. So it's not like the Broncos even have this all-worldly coordinator as their head coach in Fangio. Again, really good coordinator, really good defensive mind. Excellent. I don't know if I'm ready to go that far.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, like the Vic Fangio, clearly there's a gap between like what he did kind of early in his career and what he's done later. Now, the last decade, the last 10 years that he has been a defensive coordinator or a head coach, his defenses have ranked thusly in total defense: 4th, 3rd, 5th, 5th, 14th, 15th, 10th, 3rd, 12th, and 21st. So last year, the only season that he's had in the last 10 outside of the top half of the league in defense. But at the same time, you look at those years with Chicago, 14, 15, 10, and 3 didn't really get great until Khalil Mack showed up.
Well,
in 2018.
And I want to expand on a little bit on that as well, because it was almost like a perfect storm in Chicago. And obviously his performance in Chicago is what vaulted him into this position. But you get mm-hmm. Khalil Mack, you get Danny Trevathan in free agency, and you also hit in the draft with Roquan Smith. I mean, you're getting like a three-headed monster all at once. And the fact that they were able to fire off on all cylinders, I think pads, you know, kind of what Chicago was able to do. You can't take anything away from them. But you look in hindsight, okay, this guy had elite talent all across the board. I know Broncos fans have been wondering, when are they going to go get the inside linebacker, right? When are they going to go get their version, you know, of some of these guys that, you know, Fangio's had to deal with in the past? But I think it's a fascinating topic, because I think Fangio and what he's done on defense is admirable, but it's not elite.
Yeah, and certainly it's good. It's been good in the last decade. Interesting thing, by the way, his first 11 seasons as an NFL defensive coordinator? You know how many times he had a top 10 defense in those 11 years?
Tell me.
Twice.
Yeah.
And he wasn't the primary play caller for those defenses. It was Dom Capers when he was in Carolina back in 95 and 96. Vic Fangio being a defensive genius is, or perceived that way, is something that came relatively late. That being said, great with the 49ers. They were top five defense every time out in his four seasons there. The last 6 years, though, with Chicago and Denver, only two top 10 defenses in the last 6 years, including 21st last year. There's some improvement, but that has been made. Real quick before we go to the other side of this, we're talking about MVP going into this. I think we agree the Broncos need the MVP to be the quarterback, whoever he is, whether it's Drew or Teddy or Aaron Rodgers. Now, if Aaron Rodgers walks in the door, he's probably going to be the MVP. But for them to maximize what they are this year, they need Drew or Teddy to play at an MVP of the team level. Can either of them do that?
No. I mean, at least from what I've seen from them right now, I don't think so. I think you brought in Teddy Bridgewater to be a stabilizer. I don't think you brought in Teddy Bridgewater to be an MVP. Does Drew Lock have all the upside in the world? Sure. But what you see is what you get, you know? And I think what we've seen from these guys, the sample size that we've got from both of these guys, there's been no inclination of an MVP-type player in either one of these two. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, my friend Ryan Konigsberg likes to say, is the quarterback the pilot or the plane? Well, I mean, worst-case scenario is you're the passenger. But unless Drew Lock shows something that he hasn't shown just yet, or Teddy Bridgewater shows something that he has not just yet, we're talking about quarterbacks. They're the pilot, and basically that means they're kind of an autopilot. You want the quarterback to be the plane because that means that's the thing getting you there. Right now, they're just the pilot. They need the quarterback to be more than that. So with that said, who's their most likely MVP? You say Von Miller. I'm actually going to say Jerry Jeudy. That's my choice for MVP this year. But CBS Sports says Kyle Fuller. And real quick, if Kyle Fuller is the Broncos MVP, what happened in the season?
They probably have 4 or 5 wins. In order for a guy like a Kyle Fuller, I mean, you go down the pecking order, you know?
Yeah, that's...
my opinion.
You know what? Yeah, you're not wrong, because unless he had 8 picks or something like that, that means you had an underwhelming season in pass rush. That means maybe he was just a good cover corner. Yeah, I don't want to think about that for the Broncos in 2021. Hopefully, no offense to Kyle Fuller, but hopefully it's somebody else. On the other side, what if a player left a sideline or bench to stop an opponent in a game? That sounds completely crazy, but somebody who passed away this week had that happen to him many decades ago. What would it mean if we saw something like that today? We'll tell you on the other side. Get into that. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Neil Piro filling in for Eric Goodman. I'm Andrew Mason. Watch us on MileHighSports.com. Listen to us on Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM in Denver. And, of course, MileHighSports.com or Alexa will get you to our audio broadcast worldwide. They wonder why I'm such a baby.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Andrew Mason here. Eric Goodman on assignment. Filling in for him is Anino Piro, joining me in studio back in Denver. He's in DTC. I am sitting here at my parents' house in Tarpon Springs, Florida, not too far from Tampa. Of course, the world center of sports right now, because the Lightning just won a championship and the Bucks won a Super Bowl last year. Maybe Denver can get back to that at some point, Anino.
Maybe one day. You know, man, you got the Avalanche who are, you know, rocking and rolling. The Nuggets are right there. It's so hard to win in the NBA. You know, like it's just, which is why I'm so frustrated why the Nuggets got bounced already. But mm-hmm. I don't know about the Rockies though. I know you guys talked about it yesterday on the program about the GM and the search and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you want to talk about a never ending state of delusion. I mean, insert the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of Tampa, I mean, literally when we've discussed the GM the possibilities, I've said, okay, you want to figure out a model that works in Denver. I think you start by asking, why does it work in St. Petersburg with the Tampa Bay Rays? Annually among the worst in attendance. It's a team that has a very low budget because of that. Small market team. And yet they keep cranking out one contending team after another. Yes, they've lost in the two World Series that they've been to in 08 and then last year to the Dodgers in six games. But if you transferred that sort of philosophy and developmental ability to Denver, to 20th and Blake, where the Rockies, they don't have a big budget, they don't have a Dodgers budget, but they're a middle market team. So you'd be in a position to be able to at least keep some more of the guys that maybe the type of guys that the Rays have had to let go. Why wouldn't that work in Denver? Why wouldn't that philosophy, their development, player development style, why wouldn't that work with the Rockies?
Well, I hate to go the other way, but it would work. Like I'm convinced that it would work. Like I mean, I just think that the Rockies' shortcomings are just, again, due to a degree of a net, you know, delusion within the front office. Because there's no reason why you can't try. You know, the Rockies have been doing the same thing over and over. What's the definition of insanity, right? And I think you look at that model of a Tampa Bay and you say, okay, like maybe that is the way. Hey, we don't want to be this big market spending team like the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Red Sox, but you can be a mid-market team. You can have a similar amount of success to a team like Tampa, who is a lower market team in regards to payroll. It just makes absolutely no sense to me, Mace, and it drives me insane, especially because the Rockies literally have everything going for them except a good ball club. Everything about the Rockies is fantastic except the product on the field.
And when you look at kind of the budgets of teams, I mean, you can basically say in the NL West, the Dodgers are the equivalent of the Yankees. The Giants are probably the equivalent of the Red Sox. And the Padres are probably the equivalent of the Blue Jays. So right. You have three big budget teams in the AL East, three big budget teams in the NL West. So the situations are comparable. In the last 13 seasons, despite going to battle with those Leviathans in divisional play. In the last 13 seasons, the Rays have been to the playoffs seven times. They had four losing seasons, nine winning seasons. They went to the World Series twice. They went to the postseason six times, out of 13. So this is a team that, despite significant disadvantages, has proven that they can contend. Before last year they had won 90 plus games 2 years in a row. They're going to win 90 plus this year. If last year had gone to a full season, they were on pace to win 108 games. I don't know if they would have kept that pace up, but you know what? Give me some of that magic in Colorado. And I really hope that Dick Monfort looks outside and looks to a model that has worked like Tampa Bay has.
Well, and I'm never going to be one to advocate for people dropping a fan base, but if Dick Monfort and the Rockies do stick with an internal candidate and kind of just continue along this circus act, I mean, I really don't know what else there is to do, you know, because I think, you know, as a person, I think Dick Monfort gets dragged through the mud a little bit for how he's handled the organization, but I know there's no bigger fan of the Rockies than Dick Monfort. I mean, Dick Monfort loves baseball. He loves the Rockies. He loves Colorado. He's almost everything you almost wish he was more like a Steve Ballmer. You know, love the team. Come sit in your, you know, seat right behind the dugout, but let the guys upstairs run the show. And I mean, I think the fact that you saw the Rockies were advertising front office positions and analytic positions on their MLB.com website, I think that kind of tells you all you need to know about how this. I mean, you don't advertise a front office position on a website. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is something that you get from knowing someone or you pay your dues. Like, you have a list of candidates already. The fact that the Rockies are trying to field this stuff outside of the organization to me is hilarious.
Maybe I should apply.
Maybe. But anybody's got to be better. Yeah, I know you do. And I like my job too. But I think anybody would be, you know, an upgrade right now in that department. Seriously, it's like a vacuum. You know, you never empty out the dust. It's just the same old dust circulating around in the bag.
Real quick, time now for what's trending.
What's trending? Presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com.
This week, Dickie Maygold died at the age of 86. If you don't know that name, maybe you know the story. In the 1954 Cotton Bowl, Maygold was a running back for Rice University and was headed to the end zone. And that changed when Tommy Lewis of Alabama jumped off the Crimson Tide bench, tackled Dickie Maygold in play as he was headed for the end zone. The officials awarded Rice and Maygold a 95-yard touchdown run. Lewis later apologized by saying he was, quote, too full of Alabama, unquote. What would be the reaction if this kind of thing happened today?
Twitter would have a field day. That would be sensational content, but I don't know. I think depending on the sport, so if it's football, I think, you know, is it the away player doing it to a home player? Is it a home player doing it to an away player? I think that all kind of factors in. I think it'd be, you know, much like when you see a streaker in baseball. I think, you know, if it kind of happened, people will probably just get riled up. There's pandemonium, like, oh my gosh, you know, like I think you'd see the replays and whatnot. I think it'd be a big just talking point for social media and just kind of one of those aha, look what we just saw moments.
Vegas would be up in arms, though.
Oh, could you imagine?
I mean, honestly, I think the first thing that you'd wonder is like, you know, if you had somebody kind of running from the sideline to make a stop, you're like, is the fix in? Is this guy trying? What's going on here? Is this guy on the take?
Yeah,
that's what I don't wonder.
You're right. That is a sports book's nightmare.
Yeah,
I don't even know how that would shake out.
You ever see The Last Boy Scout?
Can't say I have.
Okay, it's a movie that came out in 1991, so probably a little before your time. A
few years,
but it's somewhat football based. But in the opening scene, you find a running back. He takes a call at halftime from one of the gamblers, and so he's paid off. And so this guy is running for a touchdown late in the game in the rain. And someone's about to tackle him, and he pulls out a gun. He shoots the guy square between the eyes, and he shoots another guy in the leg. Pulls a gun out. I mean,
now that is some Hollywood acting right there.
That is Hollywood acting. And meanwhile, Vern Lundquist is on the call. That was Vern.
That's awesome.
Kind of Vern's thing is doing movies, right? He did Last Boy Scout. He did Happy Gilmore.
Yep.
Who the hell is Happy Gilmore?
that's an all-time classic right there.
All right. Danny, what did we miss today?
Well, we'll talk about on Sunday the celebrity softball game. You guys hit on some of the stars in the Home Run Derby. We'll talk about some of the star names that are taking part of that celebrity softball game. Also, we'll get into some interesting comments from a New England Patriot, the 2019 Defensive Player of the Year, who just wants to be paid what he's worth. That's all coming up next, right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports. The moon and its eclipse, and Superman unrolls the suit before he lifts. But I'm not the kind of person.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, Mile High Sports Radio, milehighsports.com. That's where you can check us out worldwide. You can watch us, you can listen to us, and if you missed the show, you can get on the podcast train and listen to all of our shows archived. You can hear the conversation that Anilo Pirro, filling in for Eric Goodman, and I've had about the Broncos, about who might be their MVP, about the fact that apparently 95% of their players have at least received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine and what that means for the 2021 Broncos season. Check that out at milehighsports.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just In Case You Missed It is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, New England Patriots quarterback and 2019 Defensive Player of the Year Stephon Gilmore is a little unhappy with his contract. He's set to make only $7 million this season. That is 24th among NFL cornerbacks. He's made it known he would like a new contract. I believe he's not even at training camp or is planning to hold out from New England Patriots training camp. Do you think New England figures this out and gets a new contract for Gilmore, pays him, quote-unquote, what he is worth, or does Gilmore move on?
I think eventually they pay him what he's worth. Look, New England is going into a cost-controlled era at quarterback with Mac Jones on a rookie deal. I think he's going to be their quarterback sooner rather than later. A cost-controlled quarterback like Mac Jones, next 4 years on his rookie deal, and then the fifth-year option, if he is succeeding, gives the Patriots the financial flexibility where they ought to be able to fit in that Gilmore contract easily. And, oh, by the way, if you've got a young quarterback finding his way, it's even more reason to make sure the rest of the positions are key positions are backstopped with guys on long-term deals. So I think they'll get it done.
I agree. I think, Stephon Gilmore has been one of the best cornerbacks in the league, if not the best cornerback in the league in recent memory. And I think, you know, you mentioned the cost control and whatnot, but I think, you know, now that Tom Brady's out the door, I think you're going to see Bill Belichick kind of get back to his defensive roots here. Remember, he made his bones out there with the Giants and had a quick stint there with the Browns and briefly, ever so briefly, with the Jets. But I think you don't get rid of a guy like Stephon Gilmore. I mean, that's if you can make it happen, you keep him. He's an excellent player.
Course years ago that he'd get rid of Aqib Talib, and I would argue that was a huge mistake on their part. Maybe he's learned a lesson from that.
Just in case you missed it, several Denver athletes in action for Saturday's celebrity softball game, part of All-Star Weekend. Two Broncos, Von Miller and Brandon McManus, will be represented. Also Philip Grubauer of the Avalanche and Will Barton of the Denver Nuggets. Out of those four guys who play for Denver teams, who do you think has the best performance on the softball diamond? And are there any Colorado athletes who you were hoping to see that we will not see on Sunday?
You know what, we're talking about softball, so I'm thinking softball, swing, not exactly the same as golf, but somewhat similar. We know Brandon McManus is a pretty good golfer, and being a kicker, he has time to work on this sort of thing that maybe his contemporaries in other sports and even other positions in football don't. I think McManus will be the best player of that bunch in softball.
Man, you got to keep an eye out for Will Barton, man. I feel like Will Barton, you know, he's healthy now.
He's healthy. You know, that's the news.
Exactly.
He's healthy for a game.
Exactly. He's got some, you know, he's a lengthy guy. He's got some speed. I feel like he grew up playing wiffle ball in the backyard with the family as well. You know, his whole catch line is protect the family. That's kind of his brand. Barton just takes me as a guy who had a lot of barbecue cookouts as a kid. And I'm assuming if you had some barbecue cookouts, you probably played a lot of wiffle ball.
That's fair to say.
I like both of those analyses. Just in case you missed it, last night, San Diego rookie reliever Daniel Camarena hit a grand slam off of Nationals' Max Scherzer to contribute to a Padres comeback at home in his hometown of San Diego. An incredible moment for the rookie reliever, incredible moment for the friends and family and the fans there in Slam Diego. The Rockies, as you guys mentioned, starting a three-game series versus the Padres tonight. If you're betting on it, do you think the San Diego Padres have a grand slam in this series?
Ooh, I mean, grand slam, even for a great team, it's so rare that it's not something that you would really bet on expecting it to come through, especially after they had one last night. I wouldn't bet on it, so I'm gonna say no, but it was a hell of a moment last night.
Yeah, I agree as well. I think it's just one of those things that when it happens, you kind of just appreciate it for what it is, but damn near impossible to forecast or bet on that. I mean, that's a you put your chips down, walk away, and hope you get lucky.
Yeah, we got any more, Danny?
Sure thing. Just in case you missed it, you guys mentioned one CBS Sports story regarding the Denver Broncos. I'll talk about another one here where they ranked young NFL quarterbacks by their chances of making a Josh Allen-type leap in 2021. Now, the most likely, probably no surprise to anybody here, Joe Burrow. The don't be shocked category consisted of Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray. And in the unlikely category, Tua Tagovailoa and our very own Drew Lock. Are there any names you're surprised at where they are placed on that list? And of the two in the unlikely category, who do you think is more likely to make a leap, Tua Tagovailoa or Drew Lock?
I'll tell you, I think it's a little kind of soon to be saying it on a Tagovailoa compared to Lock, and Lock is 1 year more down the road than Tagovailoa is. But I will say this on Drew specifically. I've done the number crunching, adjusted for era compared with him and other young quarterbacks at similar points. Could Drew become a long-term viable starter? Yes. But based on history, there's about a 7-10 chance that he doesn't. So probably about 30% chance that he becomes a long-term guy, and probably maybe even a 15% chance that he has a Josh Allen-like leap. So it's unlikely, but I'd say Tagovailoa probably has a little bit better shot.
I agree. I just think that Tagovailoa also has an organization that believes in him to the fullest, at least to my knowledge, whereas, you know, you've got kind of this ongoing battle with, you know, one foot in, one foot out. So I agree with pretty much everything you just said, but I think Tua is the definitive answer here.
I personally would be shocked if Daniel Jones made that kind of leap, but
yeah.
What do I know?
Yeah. I'd be shocked as well. And again, he's kind of like Drew Lock. Is it possible? Yes. Likely, based on his form? Absolutely not. That was, just in case you missed it, brought to you by Masterpiece Roofing, which was recently voted Denver's best roofing company, and their customers have given them over 85-star Google reviews. Call for a free roof inspection today to see how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof, whether it's roofing, painting, gutters, windows, or siding. Let them turn your home into a masterpiece. Go to masterpieceroofing.com. Danny, great job behind the glass down there. Andrew, great job as always. And Neil, thanks for filling in. You're going to be at the Home Run Derby on Monday. We'll be checking in with you at 5:15 on the show during that. Eric will be out. My friend Zach Stevens of
thednvr.com. I'll step in there.
Have a great weekend. And like I said, thanks to Danny, Andrew. Yeah, can't wait to hear from you and Elo. Can't wait to be back on Monday. But in the meantime, you have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports Radio and MileHighSports.com. But I guess you changed her mind. Well, I should have known it wouldn't be all right.